What's up? What's up? What's up?
Where did you come up with the name Dogface? The morning you woke up and this video went viral, can you explain everything from where you were living, what you were going through, to why you picked up that cranberry juice?
I ended up moving into the riverbank in a tent. I was homeless, you can say. I always felt like something big was gonna happen to me in life. One of the influencers that helped me, you know, Gary Vee, he's always out there telling people to create content. If you're doing it, you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for your fans.
I heard a rumor where they had offered you like a lifetime supply of cranberry juice. Is that true? What do you think is your biggest takeaway from what's happened to you? Do you think that you'll ever have a cannabis line? You've gotten into acting, into music, into sponsorship deals. Talk about that, what it was like to become an actor.
Dream come true.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome an internet sensation, an embodiment of good vibes, Nathan Apodaca, better known to the world as Dogface. Nathan skyrocketed to fame in 2020 with a single TikTok video of him skateboarding down the highway, sipping cranberry juice, and effortlessly lip-syncing to Fleetwood Mac's Dreams. That simple, carefree moment resonated worldwide, bringing joy to millions and even rekindling love for a classic song. Since then, he's gone on to capture our hearts through his positivity, appearing on hit shows like Reservation Dogs and Lopez vs. Lopez, and amassing a huge following online. Nathan's story is one of humble beginnings, resilience, and an undeniable knack for spreading joy. Let's dive into the journey of a man behind the skateboard, the juice, and the viral vibes. Welcome to the show, Dogface. Nathan, thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood. I am so excited to meet you. So welcome to my show.
Hey, what's up? What's up? What's up? That's what's up. I'm proud to be here. You know what I mean? It's a real pleasure to meet you as well.
Oh, you're awesome. So it's funny. We share a mutual person in common. Gina, who you work with, is someone that I've known for maybe 16 years. And we have, you know, we have a very long history together. She's a great woman. I'm glad that she represents you and has been with you. And she's, you know, it's just really a pleasure to meet you. So,
hey, that's what's up. Shout out Gina.
Yes, exactly. Shout out to Gina. All right. So Nathan, what's interesting about you and why I'm having you on the show, and I explained this to you, is that a lot of people, most people know Dogface as this guy who is just this chill, cool guy, sipping on Ocean Spray, listening to Dreams. And that came out of nowhere because the chill vibe of what we were watching didn't necessarily match with the guy who was on the back of that, even though it represented your vibe, right? Like, and everyone was like, who is this dude? So before you talk about that moment that we all know you for, I really want to get to know who you were. And like, I want to hear all about your upbringing, like where you were right before this hit, what your aspirations were, because it's so fascinating to me that none of us knew you before, but then you were on everyone's mind after. So kind of take me back. Like, where were you born? What kind of family were you born into?
I was born and raised in Idaho Falls, Idaho, you know, and growing up back in the day, I don't know why we chose Idaho, but my dad's side of the family lives like 5 hours from us in Oregon. My mom's side of the family lives with us 5 hours in Wyoming on the res, where I get my native side from, and then my dad over here get my Mexican side from. But like I said, we basically parked in Idaho. I guess it's because it's in the middle of everybody. You know what I mean? So yeah, born and raised in Idaho. And
well, hold on. What was that like? I mean, I don't even know how many people have been to Idaho. That's like a random place.
Every
Tell me
I
what that's
Idaho,
like.
Idaho, they think I'm talking about Ohio as well.
Right.
And I guess we're both forgotten states. You know what I mean? But yeah, we're still here. A bunch of agriculture state. You know what I mean? And
so is it just wide open fields? Like, what is that like growing up?
It's not really wide. Yeah. I guess you could say that. Yeah. There's just fields on fields of just, you know, potatoes. That's what we get. That's what we grow here and everything. Mm-hmm. And beets, you know, onions, stuff like that. There's just agriculture state everywhere. You know, there's cities, you know, 60 miles, 30 miles expanded from each one. You know, we got 60,000 people where I'm from. So it's, It's small town living, but you know what I mean? It's pretty chill.
Right. And did you grow up with, you know, nice things, with money, with, you know, a big family?
No. When I grew up, we grew up in a trailer park and we had 9 of us living with us, the 2-bedroom house. And yeah, I was in my mom's bedroom, sleeping with them in their room, just a spread room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like from when I was at least how 6 or 5 or 6, you know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah, just real cramped in there, but we made it work. And my dad was a hardworking man. That's where I get all my work skills from and everything like that, you know. And growing up, we lived at a trailer park that was like walking distance from the warehouse that my dad worked at, where I eventually got a job at, you know what I mean? And it's just been, yeah, that's Idaho for you.
And was your family close?
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? We were a close family growing up. We did everything together, family barbecues, everything like that. And just experience life as we can in a small town.
That's amazing. And so what were your aspirations when you were a kid?
When I was a kid growing up, I mainly wanted to be a basketball player. You know what I mean? Being in Idaho Falls, we're 3 hours away from Salt Lake. And the Utah Jazz was one of my favorite teams, you know, growing up. And the dream team, John Stockton and Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, everybody, you know what I mean? It's just, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And then I had a shortfall, I don't know what you want to call it, but when I was 9 years old, 9 or 10 years old, I went and met one of my basketball stars, Karl Malone, you know what I mean? Karl Malone, John Stockton, you know, they were a duo. And I went to meet him and I was like so excited to meet him and everything like that, because he came to Idaho and everything. I wanted to sign some cards for me and everything like that. He looked at the cards and he's like, I don't sign these cards, you know? And I was like, what? You know, okay, that's cool. Then I was like, can you sign my shirt? You know, all happy still. And then he like leaned back and he looked at his manager like, you know, what is this kid doing, you know? And I'm just like, yo, dude. And I just like looked at my mom and my mom's like looking at me like shocked. And I was looking at him like, yo, forget this guy, man, you know? So they pulled me off and I was like, dude, I don't want nothing from you, you know what I mean? So I left. And to me, that should have started me off to where like, you know, I'm going to be a famous basketball player one day, you know, I'm going to, you know, show Karl Malone up, you know? But no, it actually turned me the other way. I actually started getting into trouble, started, you know, the gang life, or what you can call a gang life in little old Idaho, you know what I mean? It was a family thing, you know. We started hanging around together, you know, and getting in trouble and stuff like that. So yeah, it kind of took me the opposite way. And then I just told myself though, when I was younger, you know, because I always felt like something big was going to happen to me in life. And I was like, if anything ever happens like that, where I become famous or something like that, I always used to practice my signatures, you know, everything, you know. And I was like, if anything ever happens to me in life where I can be blessed to give people, you know, autographs or pictures, I would not ever say no. And, you know, luckily that happened, you know, and it's crazy. But yeah, fast forward or rewind back again to the crimes and all that, whatever. But yeah, I did get into some trouble and stuff growing up, you know, being a kid and everything.
Were you ever arrested for those?
Little town, you grow up quick or you end up going to the big state, you know, going up to prison or whatever. And
right. But so like what kind of crime, were you ever arrested for anything?
Definitely. I was in and out of jail for consumption tickets, you know. I even got a ticket for smoking cigarettes before I was 18.
Oh my God.
Theft. It was crazy, you know, just, and then I went to jail. I think it was 3 or 4 months straight. Or no, it was a month straight. Every weekend I was in jail because of consumption tickets. So I was drinking, you know, and it was underage drinking. They put me in, they take me out. Next weekend I did it again. So yeah, I was kind of like going down the wrong route where I wanted to go. And I just needed to smarten up, you know, and then I got into a fight in jail actually. And one of my friends that helped me in the fight actually told me, yo, dude, we got 2 ways to go right now. You know, he's like, we can either just get out, smarten up, or we can just, you know, we're going to end up going upstate, you know, is what he was saying. And I was like, no, for real, dude, I understand what you're saying. And so he kind of like those words that he said, you know, and then everything that was happening on the outside, you know, I wasn't being involved with. It just kind of helped me straighten myself out. Then I got out, got steady with the work with my dad and just started working at the warehouse. And then honestly, I was at the warehouse forever.
So explain what that's like to work at a potato warehouse.
It's insane, especially being from Idaho, you know what I mean? It's okay because it's kind of expected, but I got my first job at a potato warehouse when I was 14 in Idaho Falls. They let me work, I think it was 8 hours exactly, or it was 6 hours. I can't remember what it was because I was 14. But as soon as I turned 15, which back in the day was the legal I think it was a legal age to work. Either way, when they gave me the 8 hours, 4 hour days, that's when I started working, you know, full time into the warehouse or whatever. I did everything from stacking boxes, 50 pound boxes, to making the bags with the 50 pound potatoes in there, stacking the bags. You know, I drove Heister. I've done machine work and everything. I've been in and out of the whole warehouse ever since I've stepped into it, you know, and it's 14. And I think I didn't stop until the video, you know, so.
So, and at that point, when you're doing it for that long, and by the way, how old were you then when the video came out?
37.
Okay. So basically 20, you know, 20 years or whatever that is, a little over. So as you're working in this potato warehouse and your life is, you know, going on, are you thinking this is kind of it? This is what I'm no longer going to be the basketball player.
Definitely. You know,
where is your head at?
I had a moment when I was at work, when I was sitting there and I was just loading up the bags. And this is going on like before the video, right? Almost before the video happened. And I was just thinking to myself, I was looking at this thing in front of me and there was dots everywhere and like little rust spots and everything, you know? And I was like, wow, that kind of looks like America, you know? This kind of looks like, you know, us over here or something, you know? I started thinking to myself, I was like, man, we're like this little anthill right here. And I've only been to the states surrounding it, you know what I mean? And this is the world over here. And I started thinking to myself, man, what am I doing? Am I going to be here for the rest of my life, you know? Am I going to be this little ant that's giving potatoes to everybody that's getting pushed out to the world, you know? And I'm sitting here just producing it, you know? Mm. I started thinking about that, and I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, I figured in my head that the world's a big place, you know, and I wanted to see it. So then, you know, this isn't when I was doing the videos. I was still in the mix of doing the videos at this time. So I was just like, okay, whatever. So I never thought that doing videos – or going viral or anything like that would happen. And I didn't know what would come with it after. Right. So like I said, once again, shout out to Gina Rodriguez, because she kind of like showed me the way after everything, you know?
Right. Of course. So somewhere in there, you became a father. Somewhere in there, you became a father, right?
Oh yeah.
And your daughters, were they the ones that introduced you to dancing or making videos? Like, how did that even come into your thought process?
I was always a dancer growing up. My dad, he used to always, you know, mimic. He's like, see Michael Jackson on screen. Hey, can you do that? And I'm like, yeah, I can do that. Let's see. You know, I'd mimic people dancing on TV. I have fun with it. I just make the family laugh. I was always the joker around the family, you know, trying to make people laugh, dancing, acting skits out or whatever I seen on TV, you know. And yeah, so freaking... What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I was asking about if your daughters were the ones that introduced you to.
And then, yeah, like I said, one time, okay, before it was TikTok, it was Musical.ly. And then I seen my daughter, she was on it and she was doing videos and dancing videos and stuff like that. And I came home from work one day and she was on the steps doing some kind of dance that they were doing where it looked like you were walking up the steps while you were dancing. Yeah. And I told her, hey, I can do that. And she's like, no, you can. And I was like, yeah, I can. And then she's like, well, let's see it. So I did it with her and everything like that. And then she's like, oh my gosh, that's crazy, you know? And me and my daughters growing up, they stayed with their mom growing up and everything like that. I was always just a worker at home and everything. In Idaho, they stayed in Montana with their mom. They came back I got them on the holidays and everything like that. So yeah, whenever they came, we were just chilling everything. And this was something that helped me bond with my youngest daughter the most. So I was like, I liked it, you know, it was a good app and everything.
Sure.
But when she left and then she came back, it switched to TikTok or something like that. And then she's like, this is the same app, but it's, you know, it's different name now. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I started watching it with her and everything. And there was different people on there. There were older people on there that I see my age. There were sounds on there that was like from back in the day, you know. And I started doing more dances with her and everything like that. And then she finally said, okay, you know what? You're clouding up mine. I need to make you your own, or you need to make your own. And I was like, well, I'm not going to make my own TikTok, you know, or whatever. So she ended up making it for me, password, everything like that. She ended up going back home. I ended up learning the app and learning how to do it and everything. So then when she came back, I started doing more dances with her and everything. And I actually went viral doing a dance called the Get Up Dance. And I copied a dance from, I can't remember his name, but he did a dance that went viral. I did the same dance and I gained like 39,000 followers overnight or something like that. 60,000, I can't really remember what it was. And I just like so happy and ecstatic. And I told my daughters, I was like, look at this, you know? And they're like, whoa, you're going viral, you know? And this and that. I'm like, okay, cool, you know? And I was like, I guess I'm done now. I can quit, you know? And everything. And then my daughter's like, no, my oldest is like, why are you going to quit? You know, you got all these followers, all these people watching you now, you know, you got to keep going. I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. You know, I was like, I don't even understand what I'm doing now, you know, or whatever. Right. I'm just having fun with the app. And then, so yeah, after that, we just kept continuing doing videos. I ended up losing my account at like 162,000 followers. It was, wow. I started trying to sell merch with a marijuana leaf on it.
Oh,
and
nice.
TikTok did not like that. So they banned my account. So I had to restart.
Oh, and no.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So
took me like 4 months, but yeah. I built my account back up to 160 or 173,000 followers. I think it was in 4 months. And wow. Then after that, it just kept doing videos, having fun. And then it built it up to 750 or 720,000 before the video hit.
Oh, no way. Okay. So I didn't know that. So you had already established like a thread kind of, you knew how to kind of do it and build on it. People started to know you and see you. So, but originally you were doing this just for like the heartwarming feeling of the likes and for people commenting. It sounds to me like it was great. This guy from where, you know, where you were, just like you're talking about now, you were a little bit more out there as opposed to the guy in, you know, this little ant.
Yeah, definitely.
But it wasn't for money back then at all.
No, definitely not. You know, and like I said, I didn't even know money would ever come from this. I didn't know money could come from this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a trickling effect and it was just insane.
So explain to me your living situation. Basically, the morning you woke up and this video went viral, can you explain everything from where you were living, what you were going through, to why you picked up that cranberry juice bottle?
Okay, basically, before everything, you know, I actually got kicked out of my house, or my mom got kicked out of her house that she was living in, and I was staying in a shed in the back of the house. So she ended up moving in with my sister, and then I ended up moving into the riverbank, you know, in a tent. So I was out there, I was homeless, you can say, but I had a place to shower. I had a place to eat. I was still working, you know, a 9-to-5 job at the warehouse. I was just camping out is the way I looked at it. So I was out at the river for about 2 months or something like that. And just having fun with life and just continuing doing my videos, you know, building up my following. And like you said, the comments and everything that I got from people from the comment section and everything, people were depressed. People were coming out of depression for 3 days, crying straight, just seeing my video made them laugh or reminded them of their loved one from the past that they lost, you know, a video that I did or something. That's what kind of kept me going and everything. And it was just honestly just helping me pass the time being out there at the river, you know, all by myself. I had my dog with me and everything, and that was it. Then when my kids came, they ended up staying with my sister and my mom and everybody. I was out there still. I ended up getting a call for a wildland camp crew because I used to do wildland firefighting, but the camp crew.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a call for that. I ended up going to a fire, and that gives me a pretty good paycheck after 2 weeks. So I got that, I think it was $3,000 check. I used $1,000 to get me a mobile home, and I ended up moving myself into the Walmart parking lot.
No
so
way.
I was at the Walmart parking lot for about, I think it was a month before my brother seen me over there, or he knew I was over there, but he was just like, you need to come park in front of my house, you know, plug everything in over there. You can stay there and shower and everything there instead of going to the stores or whatever, you know, having to worry about it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I was at, basically in front of my brother's house in a trailer that I got from a wildland camp crew fire. And my daughter decided that she wanted to move in with me this time. So I was like, okay. So she moved in with me with the RV. And I'm like thinking to myself, man, it's getting cold. It's getting, you know, crazy cold out here. I'm going to have to do something to get us into an apartment. And yeah, so I just kept doing my videos. I'm headed to work one day. All of a sudden, my truck breaks down. And then I'm like sitting there and I'm like wondering, okay, I got 10 minutes to get to work. Should I sit here and should I, you know, call my mom, call somebody, come give me a jump, wait for somebody to give me a jump, or should I just go? Because where I live, again, like I said, Idaho's a small town. You could basically, I could see where I live, I mean, where I worked, where I was at, you know. So I looked over. I had my juice with me from the other night. I had my board with me because I always used to run out of gas or it would break down and I'd just take off on the board and just, you know, figure it out later.
Right.
So I ended up taking off. And yeah, when I was going up the hill on the highway, I was looking over my favorite list and everything like that. And one of my one of the influencers that helped me, you know, out there, Gary V, he's always out there telling people to, you know, create content, make content, you know, no matter what. If you're doing it, you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for your fans as well, you know. So even if you don't want to post, post, because they're waiting for you, you know what I mean? So that's what I was looking at the time, because it felt like 24 hours passed. And I was doing 3 to 5 videos a day. And this day, it felt like I didn't do any videos for the 24 hours. So I was like, kind of in a rush to do something. I was looking at my favorite list, going down the sounds that you save, because on TikTok, you can save sounds.
Okay.
And I think it was only the third song down the list. And I just heard Dreams Come On. And I look down the way and I could just see the road curve. And then it just hit me in my head. Something spoke to me, you know what I mean, on the inside, mm-hmm. and said, do a video, you know. And I was like, man, this is it. So I kind of seen the video before I did it. And then I did the video, made it to work with freaking 2 minutes to spare. So I got my $25 bonus and posted it. And then just everything went crazy.
For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to take a quick moment to chat about something that's really been on my mind lately, my health journey. As a busy mom and businesswoman, it can feel overwhelming to prioritize my well-being, right? But ever since I found Holistic Goddess, it's like I've discovered a whole new way to think about health. They've vetted everything in their marketplace, so I know I'm getting quality products that actually really work. It's like having a friend who's done all the legwork for you. That's exactly what Holistic Goddess feels like to me, a friend sharing their real experiences and recommendations, and that's who I want to be for you, sharing things that have helped and worked for me personally. Please give Holistic Goddess a try to be your marketplace for trusted brands. Go to holisticgoddess.com. If you find something you like, use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off. So you're at work, you posted it, and then did you start to see immediately people were liking it and it was surpassing other videos, or did it take a while to hit?
No, definitely. Like, I've seen videos hit millions on my stuff before because of the account or the following that I had, but it took like usually a day or two. And then this video that I did, you know, like I said, I used to listen to Gary Vee a lot, and he says, post, post, post. So I posted it. I didn't like the video. I didn't even like the video when I seen it in the beginning, because I was going slow in the beginning. So I wasn't going to post it, but I said, okay, go for it. I haven't posted anything. Do it. Went into work, came out. I think it was an hour I had break. And it was at 100,000 views. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of crazy, you know? And then I went back into work, came back out two hours later, so which is 3 hours altogether. Then it was like at 400,000 views. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know? And I started telling everybody, this might actually hit a million today. And they're like, oh, that'd be cool, you know? And I was like, yeah, it would be cool. That'd be crazy. Went back into work, came back out at third break, I think it was. And then it was already at 2.1 million, I believe.
No way.
And I was just like, whoa, that's crazy. And then, like I said, I didn't know what to think of it or anything like that. So I just went home and just started doing videos again, like natural, you know? And yeah, next day, everybody starts blowing up my phone. My mom's telling me, what are you doing posting your videos on Facebook? And I'm like, Mom, I don't post my videos on Facebook. And she's like, well, it's everywhere on Facebook. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. And I was like, I don't know what's going on. And yeah, then I just started hearing people, hey, you need to get out and do some interviews. You need to go do this. You need to go do that. And I was like, with what and with who? I was like, I got to go to work, dude. You know, I was like, I got a paycheck. I got rent. I got to get my daughter and me into an apartment. And so none of this was on my mind. And then, like I said, Gina reached out. And then, yeah, after I think it was 2 or 3 days, I think I finally reached out to her. And then we made craziness happen.
So explain what that is, because I think a lot of people, you know, they aspire to go viral. And I want to kind of get some advice from you for people that are listening about, once you found that piece of content that goes viral, how do you monetize that? I mean, I know you were lucky enough to have someone like Gina reach out and say, listen, this is how we do it. But explain how it's done if you were going to counsel someone else.
I'm still lost at it myself. You know what I mean? Like I said, I'm so happy that Gina reached out to me and everything, because like I said, coming into a lot of things in the beginning, there was a lot of monetization that got taken from, you know, Ocean Spray, TikTok and Fleetwood Mac. You know, there's a YouTube video out there that's going around whether they have a meeting with all three of them or whatever. And I was never involved in that meeting, you know, and they're all talking about how they're making so much and what they're doing or whatever. And I don't know what it is, but yeah. So there is a lot of money made in the beginning that I didn't see, but luckily, you know, they didn't go out and try to sue me and everything, you know, or whatever like that, because I was using, you know, a song, but it was a song on an app, you know what I mean? So it was kind of just doing what everybody else was doing. But yeah, I don't know. It helped there, helped the band out so much. It helped out Ocean Spray so much. It helped out TikTok so much. You know what I mean? That they just seen it and ran with it as well.
And did they reach out to you?
What's that?
Did they reach out to you?
I believe they reached out to Gina after I acquired her. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did when I did, because she did step in and let them know that, you know, that I'm going to be needing a part of something, that there's stuff going out there with my name on it and everything, because, you know, with the legal statements, I don't know how it goes, but I'm pretty sure they had all the rights to everything, but they did give me the rights to use it for the video, you know, and everything like that, and to get it out there. So yeah, I'm not sure about the whole science of it all.
Well, I mean, did you ever hear that they loved it, that they loved the content?
Yeah, definitely. Fleetwood Mac reached out, not Fleetwood Mac, Mick Fleetwood reached out, you know, he loved the video. He actually reached out, I think it was yesterday or a couple of days ago, because we just celebrated 4 years of the video. Mm-hmm. And he reposted the video again and said how much it was a cool video, you know, and everything like that.
Yeah. And a Ocean
Spray, they helped out like no other, you know what I mean? They freaking hooked me up with 2 jobs after the fact, and they hooked me up with a truck. So yeah, you know, the video was awesome. It was crazy.
Wait, who hooked you up with a truck?
What's that?
Who hooked you up with a truck?
Ocean Spray hooked us up with a truck.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and it was crazy. First time I got a truck that was at only miles that it took to get from the store to the house, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think it had like 3 miles on it or 4 miles on it or something like that. But yeah, that was insane.
I mean, that must have like completely changed your life from having to have that skateboard around you just in case you ran out of gas or the car broke down.
Dramatically. So, and when I was driving to Cali, like everybody in the world seen the video, everybody in the world seen what the truck I was driving. I was on the highway driving to Cali, and people were taking pictures from their cars, freaking out, honking. And I'm like, yo, what the hell? You know, it was crazy. Like I said, everywhere. It was just insane. So much love and craziness. It was
so
awesome.
The ability to monetize on something like that, explain how that changed your life. I'm assuming you're no longer living in the trailer behind your house.
Yes. You know, and a lot of things that helped me as well is the following that I had. A lot of people don't know this, but when I was homeless and everything, there was this guy on Twitter, X now or whatever. He put out some things, you know, if you're struggling, you know, put your Twitter out, put your, you know, Cash App out, put your PayPal out here. Somebody will bless you, blah, 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 blah. I did that. And then after the video happened, all of a sudden my phone started going off and I was getting donations left and right from people.
Oh, amazing.
And so I want to say thank you to everybody that donated, because like I said, without them, I wouldn't be able to get a house, you know, and thanks to Gina as well, because with the monetization and everything, like you said, she helped me get a lot of promotional deals, you know, to where I can help promote businesses and whatnot. I was giving family and friends money left and right, you know, just to bless people as well. Mm-hmm. Then it got to a point where I was trying to get a house and everything. And they're like, dude, even with the $100,000 down payment, you can't even get a house because your credit's messed up. Right. So I'm like thinking, okay, so I need to get into a house quickly. So I need to figure something out, because I was homeless. So I saved the money that I had from donations. And then I hear Gina telling me the, you know, the promotions that we were getting in line and the potential funds that we'd be getting from it. So I started saving all my money instead of just giving it to people and, you know, whatever. And TikTok, you know, with the views, they do pay it with the views and everything like that. But they got a lot of stipulations and everything, so it's kind of hard to follow. Some videos can go crazy. Some videos can just get 20 cents and stuff like that. But yeah, with everything together, I bought me a house and everything. And it was amazing, because after I did it, I had like 5,000 inside the bank account. But I was just so happy that I'll have somewhere to lay my head at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Somewhere for my kids to lay their head at the end of the day. But yes, definitely.
And Nathan, something that's yours, some stability where
yes,
you don't have to worry
definitely.
About it.
And I'm just happy like that. And everybody that ever goes viral and everything, they definitely need to jump onto the monetization thing, like you said, as quickly as they can, and figure it out as quickly as they can, because there's a lot of potential.
But I also think what you said is very important, because a lot of people come into money when they haven't had it like that. And all of a sudden people show up and ask for help. And then because you want to be generous and you feel blessed, you want to give it away almost just as fast as it's coming in. And you forget that this might be your 15 minutes of fame, and you really need to be selfish for a minute and figure out how you're going to set yourself up. So I'm glad that you were able to do that. You've taken the opportunity, though, for a few years now to continue on and make something of yourself. You've gotten into acting, into music, into sponsorship deals. Talk a little bit about that, what it was like to become an actor.
Dream come true. You know, growing up watching In Living Color, Jim Carrey, the Wayans brothers, everything, you know, like it just always was big inspiration to me watching them doing their skits and everything like that. You know, acting has been something that I always wanted to do, just, you know, messing around in life, you know, just doing Cheech and Chong skits in front of my mom and dad, for my friends and family, just to make them laugh, you know. And then thankful to Gina and everybody, you know, Reservation Dog Sterling and everybody, you know, that seen potential in me. You know, they reached out to me during season one of Reservation Dogs. I auditioned for a part, and, you know, this is life. This is real life. You know, I didn't get the part, and I was like so crushed and everything. I was like, okay, well, it's just not in my path. It's not written for me. So, you know, just keep practicing, keep doing what I can do, you know, until it's my time. Next season comes around and Reservation Dogs got another season. So yes, we got another audition, and I was like so ecstatic that I could actually audition again. I tried my best. I was studying Ralph Macchio's, you know, YouTube what do they call them? Auditions and stuff like that on YouTube. Yeah. I was trying to get myself prepared and everything. And yeah, I did this audition. After I did it, they said I killed it. After that, I became everybody's uncle, you know, Uncle Charlie from Reservation Dogs. And it's just crazy. And then it trickled down to George Lopez, Lopez versus Lopez. And that trickled down to doing a mini movie called Ricky Kill the Guy. And that was just insane. You know, it's just being up there and then hearing them say action. And then there's people just all around you. And then you're on the spot. It's just amazing. And I loved it.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome. So have you been able now to quit the potato warehouse and actually do this for a living?
Yes. Yeah, shout out to, like I said, Gina again. I haven't ever since 4 years ago when she told me to tell them to go out. I was going to go out and try LA and do whatever that she was trying to get me on. I actually didn't go back. You know, I put in my 2 weeks and just didn't go back. And thanks to Beatbox, you know, the alcoholic drink that we collabed with as well. Gina has a good eye on things, you know, and she takes care of her clients as well, you know. And so I appreciate that, because she helped me get stuff that'll actually provide for me through the future, you know.
Right.
And yeah, it's been actually helpful and beneficial to me, to where I'm still able to sit here and do what I want in life. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I can freaking, I've been doing music as well, trying to get some people out into the music scene that's in Idaho, you know, that I believe that are doing good, you know. Shout out DRG, Dino, and JQ208, you know, JQ. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like I said, we're just out here doing.
So like, wait, Nathan, like for you being a manager, almost like you finding these musicians and trying to get them in the public eye, or are you doing your own music?
No, see, yeah, that's funny. I'm definitely doing my own music with them and everything. And I'm doing manager stuff, I guess, for them. But I'm not charging them anything. And I'm just kind of just like bringing them along with me and trying to put some shine on their skills. You know what I mean?
Sure. Amazing. You mentioned, I want to ask you a question. Ocean Spray. I heard a rumor where they had offered you like a lifetime supply of cranberry juice. Is that true?
I was told that as soon as the viral video happened and everything. And I honestly did call them out on it a couple of times, and they did ship me out some, you know, new flavors. They shipped me out my favorite flavor, cran raspberry. And then after a couple of times, it just got, you know, tedious on my part. And I was just like, man, I don't want to bother them. Right. It is right there at the store. You know, I'll just go support them. And yeah, so now I just go to the store and buy it myself. I'm pretty sure if I hit them up, you know, they'll send me something, no doubt.
Right. I love that. You also mentioned Gary Vee, which is very interesting to me. Did you ever get to meet your hero?
Yes, it's awesome. I actually got to meet him like two or three times, I think it is now. I actually went to a couple of his VCon conventions that he has around the States. And yeah, it's awesome. Good crowd that he has. Very, very powerful crowd as well. You know what I mean? And good connections always to meet with everybody out there, not just with Gary Vee. But yeah, he's an awesome guy, man. Shout out to Gary Vee too.
And when you met him, did he know who you were?
Yeah, it was awesome. He called me out in front of everybody. And I was just like sitting there in the park, just watching everybody freak out when he was walking up. And I was like, hey, that's cool, man. That's cool. That's Gary, you know? And this is after I took my pictures and whatever, you know, everybody left me alone for a minute. But yeah, seeing him walk up, then he stops, he looks over, he's like, hey, Dogface. And I was like, no way, man. So I got up, walked over there, did the hug, did the little talk real quick. It was crazy. It was crazy.
I love that. Where did you come up with the name Dogface?
Growing up, basically, I got it from IG because the name, all the names were taken and everything like that. But growing up, they used to call me Nate Dogg. There used to be a singer, a legend, Nate Dogg, that sings, you know, whatever. I don't know if you know him, but yeah.
I do, of course.
Of course. Yes. Shout out to Nate Dogg. Yeah. After he passed away, I was like, you guys can't call me that no more. You know, yeah. He's a legend. Can't, like, you know, take his name, whatever. So yeah, they just started calling me Dogg. And then after that, you know, freaking, I went and got my IG and started trying to look up names for Dog. Dog was taken. Nate Dog was taken. Dog Nate was taken. And then I was like, man, something with my face or something, because everybody always calls me Dog something. So I was like, I must have a dog face. Aww. So I was like, okay, we'll put 420 because that's what I do. Dog face is the name. And then I put 208 because that's where I stay. And then it was there. It worked out.
I love it. All right. So I know you are now in the incoming phone call business of opportunities. Tell us a couple of the ones that you're most excited about. I know you have a drink that you're working on or doing, collaborating on.
Yes, we got our own, you know, shout out to Ocean Spray, no doubt. I really wish they would sponsor me, or wish they would have sponsored me, because I never really did get the sponsorship from them. But, you know, shout out to them either way. And shout out to Happiest Hour, you know, Tiff. She's a remarkable person inside and out. If you guys see her, she's on TikTok as well. The Happiest Hour is her handle. Ever since the video went viral, she reached out to me and she wanted it to collab. And I just couldn't, because I had stuff with Beatbox and I couldn't have too many drinks out there. You know, one alcohol, one out, whatever the situation was. But then fast forward to 4 years later, and then she reaches out again. And this is the time where I can get another drink on. Mm-hmm. And she introduces me to, you know what I mean, my own Cranberry Dreams, or not Cranberry Dream, Cran Raspberry Happiest Hour drink. Got my name on it and everything. Oh, and amazing. It's just amazing. You know what I mean? It's mixed with a couple of plant terpenes. I'm trying to remember. Yeah. And it's just extracted from the plant that makes you, you know, feel energized and everything like that. There's no THC, nothing like that. And yeah, we have sleep, calm, wake. Different ones to help you with different things in your life, you know what I mean? And she has Brighter Tech out there, stuff like that. So that's one thing that I'm in with right now. So
wait, is that out in stores now? Where can people buy that?
It's online and everything. I believe they are in Kroger's. I believe, I'm not sure, but yes, definitely online. And TikTok, the Happiest Hour, is where you can find it. And the drinks are inside our showcases as well. We have one as well called the Steady Vibin' Pack. That has my name on it, and it has freaking Wake, Intensify, and Bliss. Those are the three flavors that you get inside of it.
Amazing. Do you think that you'll ever have a cannabis line or something?
Definitely. I had a cannabis line going. They just didn't work out. The payments weren't coming in, and something happened with them legal-wise. But yes, I actually am getting a strain in Cali going pretty soon. And not only that, we're going to have a North Carolina strain coming out. And definitely still looking to get 50 strains of dog face out there, or can't say 50 because there's not 50 states that are green, but every green state is definitely going to have a dog face strain out there. And like I said, I put my name on it because I do test everything. So everything that I do is fire. Everybody always questions it until they try it. But like I said, dog face strains, be on the lookout, everybody. It's coming your way soon.
I love that. What do you think is your biggest takeaway from what's happened to you?
Mainly just life is short, you know what I mean? And you got to live it with your loved ones and take care of the ones that took care of you growing up. And yeah, just to live life and have fun with it. And don't take life too seriously. Mm-hmm. And definitely don't feed into the hate. And to remember that sometimes it's okay to say goodbye to those that are even close to you that are not, you know, benefiting your life, if they're just bringing you down, always negative around you or whatever, and you're just trying to hold on to that. Mm-hmm. Remember that sometimes it's easier just to let go, and then, yeah, you can go your way, they can go theirs, and just live life and remember that it's worth living.
Nathan, that's amazing advice. What do you have a bucket list? Anything that you really are hoping for in the future?
Shout out to everybody out there. I want to say shout out to the casting directors, because this is the biggest thing that I want in life to happen to me now. I want to be in movies upon movies, you know, sitcoms or anything like that. Acting is my passion, and that's the main thing that I want to do and reach and strive for right now as I continue my journey in this thing, life, you know what I mean? And on the side, while I'm doing that, I'm just doing music and having fun with it. So definitely everybody go check me out on Spotify, on Dogface 208 or Dogface. Just Doggface, I think is it. But yes, I'm on everything. I'm on Apple. I have fun with my music. So yes, hopefully one of those catch, and I have no problem being a one hit wonder. So yes, everybody go enjoy the vibe and enjoy the music that I put out there, and can't wait to see me, or I can't wait for you guys to see me on the big screen someday. You know what I mean?
I love that. Are you on Cameo?
Yes, I'm actually on Cameo. I haven't really been on it for a minute, but I'm actually going to revamp it and start everything on it again and get it going again. So everybody be on the lookout for that as well.
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, Nathan, it's been a real honor meeting you. You come through as being so humble, so kind, so motivated. You know, a lot of people would have taken this 15 minutes of fame and just been like, oh, whatever, and gone back to their old life, whether or not they wanted to. But I think you've obviously risen to the occasion, and you deserved a second chance for whatever was going on in your life. So I appreciate meeting you. I wish you the best of luck. And again, shout out to Gina. So,
hey, that's what's up. Thank you. And shout out to Gina. Care. Shout out to the world. Hell yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.